Well, we can start over today. Amen. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So we can start over. Okay, let's pray and then we'll get into the word. Lord, thank you so much for being good to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your patience. And we pray for supernatural things in our life this year. And we pray you give us vision, ideas that you would move us to do things that may be new to us. And give us the confidence and faith to just trust you, even though we may not understand everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. One more time. Say it like you mean it. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Lesson plan. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, the fifth book of the New Testament. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Hope you all had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I know it seemed like another life ago that happened, but still. Acts chapter 1. When I got out of high school, I went to the University of New Haven in Connecticut. I grew up in New York, and it was a Division III football school. They had never had a winning season. They had a new football program relatively. I did not get a scholarship out of high school. Walked on. They didn't even have scholarships at this school. And our first year, we had a 16-3 season. We had a winning season. Our second year, we were undefeated. My third year, I was All-American. And I was telling all my friends, I'm going to the NFL. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Our school had 2,500 people. No one had ever gone to the NFL. So it was kind of like a long shot. And someone mailed me, I don't know where I got it. As a matter of fact, the Dallas Cowboys, now I don't remember. The Dallas Cowboys sent me a picture of their team, a team picture. And I don't know why they sent it to me, but they sent it to me and I put it on a frame in my room. My wife and I were living together at the time. We were not Christian. We had an apartment. We call it the Roach Motel because our first night we caught 21 roaches. And our second night we caught 19. Now, why I know this, I'm a numbers guy. I remember numbers for life. And we got one of those little Roach Motel things, and I was counting them. Yeah, I got you. I got your brother. I got your mother. I got all your family. So, no, we always joke about that hotel. But we had our mattress on the floor because we didn't have a box spring. You had a little net thing in the ceiling and a little black light, you know, lava lamp back in the day. And so I had, y'all laughing. Y'all old people. Y'all remember that. Y'all remember that. So I had this picture in my room, and every single day I would look at this picture and say, one day I'm going to be in the NFL. One day I'm going to have, I don't know if it's a cowboy uniform or some uniform. One day, and it was a vision. Everyone say vision. A vision is a picture of your preferred future. A vision is a picture of your preferred future. So if you're going to diet, you wear whatever you want to wear to see your body before your diet, and you look at yourself and go, ugh. I want to get that off. I want to put some muscles there, trim down here, boom, 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 and I'm going to look like that instead of like that. Whatever it is. But you, in your mind, you envision what you want to look like at the end of your diet. Can I get amen? Amen. It's called a vision. God has given you and I the ability to have vision because he wants to instill his vision in your life. We turn 12 years old as a church next month, February 27th to 26th is a Sunday. And God has done a lot through this church. We've served the community 235,000 hours in 2011. We refurbished 8 fire stations. We, you know, all the stuff we talk about all the time that the thousands of volunteers in this church do. And the thousands of volunteers in this church do amazing things. Minister to kids in foster care, convalescent homes, on and on and on and on and on. But it's only the beginning. And this story we're going to read is really a couple of verses. Jesus Christ had a very powerful ministry. At the age of 30, he started a 3-year ministry, and he picked 12 disciples, and he ministered for 3 years. He walked on water, he healed the blind, the mute, the deaf, raised the dead. And during the end of his ministry, his 3-year ministry, his disciples kept saying, well, how are we going to know when you're going to restore Israel? How are we going to know when you're going to deliver us from Roman domination and you're going to restore everything the way God called us and said he's going to do in the Old Testament? And Jesus kept saying, you just keep waiting. Not yet. Not yet. Then he dies, gets crucified. And they go, all lost is gone. He rose from the dead. But before they knew he rose from the dead, two guys are walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus walks up beside them, and they start having a conversation, and they say the same thing. We thought Jesus was the answer. And now he's dead, so all hope is gone. Jesus opens their eyes that they may see that it's really him. So right before he ascended to heaven, he had his one last staff meeting with his disciples. And they again ask him, when are you going to restore the kingdom? When's it all going to be over? And Jesus says, are you kidding me? We're just getting started. And so I want to read this verse to you because this verse is going to speak to us as a church. You know, we have a big church. Yes, we're just getting started. It's not about the size. It's about what you do with the size. To whom much is given, much is required. And we all have been given much. We all have been given much, not only with this church, but living in the United States of America. Matter of fact, if you're making minimum wage in the United States of America, you're in the top 11% of wealth in the world. That means if you make a minimum wage, you are the 89% of the world is poorer than you. What are you complaining about? The devil always wants you to need more and more and more. No, you don't. God says, to whom much is given, much is required. So we're going to read this story. Now, whenever you hear a vision, especially today, I want you not only to hear globally what we're talking about for the Rock Church, but I want you to personalize it for you. And I'm going to personalize it for you. I'm going to apply it to you individually. Because until God touches you individually, we all collectively won't be able to do what God's called us to do. So it's not about me saying what we're all going to do. It's about what the Holy Spirit's going to tell you individually to do. And then we're going to help kind of herd us like cats to go out and do as much good as we can in the kingdom. Amen? And so be thinking about, Lord, what does this have to do with me? Matter of fact, every time you come into this church, every time you go to any church, any time you hear a sermon, whether it be on the radio or on a tape, you always want to be asking God, God, speak to me. What is your vision for me? What is the preferred future for me? You personalize when you read your Bible every day, okay? And fellas, I got a challenge for you at the end just for the guys in here. We'll talk about that in about 30 minutes. Okay, let's read chapter 1, verse 4, F-O. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus said, you have heard from me, for truly John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, Espiritu Santo, not many days from now. Verse 6, therefore when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They kept asking, when's the end going to come? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Anytime you hear someone talking about Jesus coming on this day, ask them, are they the Holy Father in heaven? There's only one Holy Father, and he's in heaven. Are you that guy? And if they say no, say, well, shut your mouth. You don't know. You don't have to say shut your mouth, but just tell them you don't know. And then it says in verse 8, but you shall receive power. Now, I want everyone to take a deep breath in and get the biggest bass voice you can say and say power.
Power.
Very good. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Number one in your notes, Jesus has empowered us for an unexplainable life. Unexplainable. God has given us and made available to us power that our lives should be unexplainable. Not can be, they should be. Now, I've done many interviews over the last few weeks about Tim Tebow. And people say, well, you know, do you really think that God is having them win games? Do you really think God is favoring him and having him beat other teams that have Christians on it? Why is that? That's not fair, blah, blah, blah. Why would God do that? I said, well, first you need to understand that God is not fair. God's not fair. God does not treat you the same way he treats me. Because people think fair, God's got to treat everybody the same. He doesn't. Matter of fact, all y'all who have parents, all y'all who are parents, if you have multiple kids, you don't treat them the same. Now, you may love them all unconditionally, but you love them all. It's all different. One's not better than the other. And by the way, Tim Tebow doesn't always win. A la yesterday, they got whooped. But when I talk about this, I said, what you really need to be understanding and seeing is the unexplainableness in the whole thing. how he could be so bad in one game and be so Superman-ish at the end of the game. And how you just can't explain this whole thing. God says, I'm going to give you power that your life will be unexplainable. How many of y'all are single right now? Just raise your hand. Okay, all y'all who's single, y'all are quiet like, yeah, I'm single. In services, we have a lot of young kids that are like, yeah, call me, yeah. But y'all are like, yeah, I'm still single. Be excited. opportunity. You do not want to settle for anybody. You want something that's unexplainable. Now, if you're already married, you're stuck. There you go, baby. Just love that, love that. Whatever you said, amen. But here's what can be unexplainable. Even if you're in a marriage that's messed up, God can flip it around. Amen. Unexplained. My wife and I, we had a move for security issues, and we were looking for a very specific situation, safety-wise. And we were finding these places, and we were like, We said, we're not going to pick anything. We're going to let God just go boom. If you remember when Jesus was being crucified, Pontius Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to kill you? And Jesus says, you got pop power. A little firecracker, snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispie power. He says, I can kill you. I can put a stone in front of your tomb. You'll never get up. I can put soldiers. I got power. He said, yeah, you have judicial power. You have political power. You have economic power. You have military power. But that's all pop power that my father gave to you. It's all natural and a natural. It's inferior to spiritual power. What are you talking about? He says, listen, you can kill me. You can pull a beard out, put thorns in my head, nail me to the cross, put me in a tomb, put the rock in front of the tomb, put your little toy cops in front of the rock. In 3 days, I'm getting up because I got ba-boom power. So, Jesus is giving you ba-boom power. So why do so many people live like they got pop-pop power? God says, I want to do something in your life, through your life. I want to do something that's unexplainable. I was walking in the hall, third floor, I don't know, a year ago, so I can't remember how long ago, down the hall, and this guy gets off the elevator right in the middle of the third floor. 6'3", white guy, goatee, hat on backwards, backpack, cut-off sweater, cut-off shorts, tattoos everywhere. You got the picture? And he's walking down the hall, and he's kind of walking down the hall this way, and I walk up next to him, hey, what's up, man, what's your name? He told me his name. I said, where are you going? He says, I'm going to my first ministry meeting. I'm kind of nervous. Yeah, this is his first meeting. He don't know what's going to happen. I said, oh, yeah, what kind of ministry are you in? He says, well, it's the knitting ministry. I said, big fella, where did you learn how to knit? I mean, I'm just not feeling it right now. I'm not feeling knitting for you. He goes, well, I don't knit. I crochet. I was like, I get that, man. I get that. That makes more sense. You got a little hook on the thing. You can hook it in. I get that. I used to crochet myself. I understand how you flip it through. Bum, 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 bum. And so I said, where'd you learn how to crochet? He says, well, I learned how to crochet in prison. Okay, this is really interesting. And what were you in prison for? Well, I was in the Hell's Angels for 12 years. Well, how'd you come to church? Well, my ex-wife and I go to church here. I was like, brother, you're blowing my mind up right now. The Holy Spirit said, ba-boom. Let's go. Ba-boom. Let's go. This is the guy right here. That's the guy right there. That's it. Get in, brother. Hand. Stand up. What's up, man? I wasn't making it up. There he is. I was so blessed. I was like, but that's what God does. He says, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I couldn't have made that up. I mean, it's like, come on, man, make us something more palatable. I mean, come on. If you allow God to touch you, then the church, boom. And I'm not talking about the rock church, just the global church. Between people come and sit and letting everybody do the work. Number two in your notes. Number two, Jesus empowered his church to be pervasive. In other words, God has not given the church power for its own purposes. Jesus said, this is about me. This is Jesus talking. This is about me. I'm going to empower you to do what I want you to do, not what you want to do. It's not about you at all. What about my idea? Your idea is not better than God's idea. Your idea may be a piece of it. In other words, you have a hint because God has given you natural desires and natural interests that are going to match his vision. But believe me, there's a whole lot more to it than where that comes from, and that's coming from God. So look what he says in verse 8. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Look up here. Look at concentric circles. Concentric circles are circles that surround each other. So you got a little circle surrounded by a bigger circle surrounded by a bigger circle, just like on a target. Jerusalem is the city where they're at. Judea, okay, San Diego, California, Samaria is America, and the ends of the earth. In other words, I want you to be witness to me everywhere. Everywhere. Now, we have a term, our vision statement is called pervasive hope. Now, I don't know if you've seen the Miss America contest, Miss Universe, and they always go up to the candidates, the young ladies, and say, so what do you want to, you know, what's your vision for the future, whatever, I don't know what the question is. And they go, oh, I just want world peace. And you're like, man, I never thought you'd say that. World peace, at least I was told, I should verify this, but if I'm wrong, I'm already telling you I might be, is the vision statement of the U.S. military. They just want world peace. Everybody be cool. So we wanted to come up with a vision statement for our church that was obviously biblical, but very simple to the point. So we came up with two words, pervasive hope. Hope everywhere. And so the statement, we're going to put it on the screen. It's in your bulletin, but we're going to put it on the screen. It says, for every way someone can be lost, we want to provide a way, practical way for him to, and her to be found in the very place they've ended up. So, how many of y'all have been in a bar before? You're like, oh, come on, man, of course. How many of y'all been on the bar like this? Last night, brother, I just rolled in here. That's why I'm here right now. Don't raise your hand. How many of y'all been in prison? How many been in an alley? How many been in a bathhouse? How many been in someone's bed? You didn't know who they were when you woke up and saw them next to you. On and on and on and on and on and on. All these places that people are lost, when the time is right, God wants to send you back to go minister to those people. We can invite people all day long to a Blue in the Faith. Come to Blue in the Faith. Come to this building, 2277 Rosecrans and Point Loma. Okay, that's fine. You can bring people. We love that. But it's so much bigger than that. There's 180 zip codes in San Diego. We need to have people all over in every zip code, on every street, going to every person. And then what we're going to do, and you'll hear more about this in the coming weeks, we're developing a training for other churches all around the world to mobilize their people to do all the ministries like we have. For example, if you don't know this, we have 150 or 120 ministries in the community. Last year, we did 235,000 hours of volunteer service for our city in all different kinds of ways, for the police department, the fire department, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to start teaching churches how to do it all over. We're also going to plant churches around San Diego, and so these churches around San Diego can focus on the community that they're in. For example, we have a building, church services in the North County right now. They'll have churches every Sunday. And we're relaunching that church into a new building in March, 2 months from now. And they're going to have Sunday morning and Sunday night services. And that church in that neighborhood is going to minister to that neighborhood. Instead of everyone trying to come from one location, the people in that church in North County are going to mobilize those people in that church to that neighborhood. We're very close to signing a lease on a building in El Cajon. Amen. And hopefully, very good. And hopefully this year we're going to open up that church in El Cajon. And by the way, these churches are just like this church, and they'll watch the sermon, the same sermon you're seeing on the screen. There, just like you're watching on the screen right now. How many of y'all watching the screen right now? Raise your hand. Look at that. I'm over here. Oh, here I am. Depending on what screen you're looking at, I'm over here. But they're watching the screen. We would love to put one in City Heights or somewhere down in the south, and then even further South Bay and Humul and Eskay, wherever we want. But we want to put these churches, and so the people in those churches can mobilize the people in those communities to serve the people in those communities. Pervasive, every street, every alley, every zip code, every person. Instead of just coming here and saying, I'm going to just get my encouragement for the week and go about my business. Oh, no. We're also going to have 24-hour a day, 7-day a week online ministry. Now, we have stuff online now. But every Sunday, we show all 5 services online. And we're going to show them Monday all day, Tuesday all day, every day of the week, and have people chatting online live with all the people around the world. Right now, there are people watching all over the world, but in some places around the world, it's the middle of the night. So we want to do it where it's daytime for them. And then have all other many other kinds of ministry training classes online 24 hours a day. So we can minister to people 24 hours a day, do evangelism 24 hours a day globally. And so this is part of our vision for this year and the next few years. Now, I want to give a challenge to some of you today because we're going to launch our North County church, relaunch it in 2 months. And we would love for 1,000 of you to leave this building and go to church up there.
Why, are you kicking us out?
Yes. We would love 1,000, and I want to say 1,000 of you, not necessarily from this service, but from one of the 5 services. We would love to launch that with 1,000 people. And now we have a base up there. And grow that church to minister to that community. If you're in the East County, it's coming. We want to push you out there. If you live in the South somewhere, how far south, City Heights, Southeast San Diego, South Bay, Chula Vista, wherever it is, we're coming. We want to get you down there. It's, you know, it's Hamul, whatever is out there. And then, whatever. And then East, Northeast, Escondido area, Scripps, whatever it is out there. And my heart's desire, New York, where I'm from. Somehow, one day we'll do that. We don't have anybody there now. But the point is that let's go out and then plant the church and now start moving. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask people from in here right now that if you have been prayerfully and would prayerfully consider going to the church in North County in a couple months. As a matter of fact, we have a meeting this Saturday up there. We're going to actually sign on the floor names like we sign these bricks in this building. When we dedicated this building, we're going to be dedicating that building this Sunday. It's a new construction site. We're going to give you a tour of the new building, and I'm going to be up there, so we'll give you some information. But in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up and say, I'm going to be praying about that. Now, I want to demonstrate what standing up means. So some of y'all are sitting right like this, right? Some of y'all like this, okay? But you're sitting down. And when I say stand, you're going to flex all of this, and you're going to rise. And then what happens is people are going to cheer for you. And then after we cheer for you, I'm going to tell you about this T-shirt we're going to give you. We're going to bribe you now. Rock North County. Okay? And then it says, I'm in. Okay, and so in a minute, I'm going to say, you know what, because you've been hearing about, I was talking about this, you've been hearing about it, somebody's saying, I live up there, I drive, and you know what, there's people up there, I can invite the church a lot easier. There's people up there that need me to go minister up there. I need to be part of that ministry. I need to be doing something. So here we go. 30 seconds, I'm going to ask you to stand. You say, you know what, I think I want to be part of that. In every service, we've had people stand, so don't feel like, oh, it's only going to be me. It ain't going to be you. So right now, if you feel like, hey, I want to get a T-shirt, maybe your name is in. You got your name on your T-shirt. I don't know what nationality it is, but I wouldn't want to guess and offend anybody. But if you want to be in and you want one of these shirts, you want to be part of North County, just stand to your feet real quick and see if anybody. Here we go. Here we go. Amen. 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 Stay standing. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Stay standing, please. Stay standing, please. So here's what we're going to do. When you leave service today, When you leave service today, the campus pastor who is going to be up there, I'm going to be preaching, but he's going to be leading the charge up there. He's going to be in the lobby. He wants to give you one of these and tell you about what we're going to do next. Amen? Amen. So let's give those people a hand. Thank you for standing up. Amen. Jesus empowered us to have an unexplainable life. He has called us to be pervasive everywhere. Three, Jesus' power is greatest when we die. Oh man, what's that about? When we die. I was on vacation in Hawaii. I love Hawaii. I work really hard, like 24 hours, even when I'm sleeping. So when I go on vacation, I'm like, I don't want to do nothing. And I love being able to be in a do-nothing mode, and I really get in the do-nothing mode, and I always extend my vacations because it makes me feel like I'm even taking more. Okay, so it's like an added versus doing it really long at the first thing. I just make it long, and then I add because it's an accomplishment. I'm taking more vacation. So it's like it's part of my mental illness perspective of things. So when I was on vacation, my wife would go, you know, where you want to go to breakfast? I don't know. What do you want to eat? I don't care. Because I don't want to have to do anything. And so where we were was this mountain. We were on the water, and there was just a rock. It wasn't a mountain. It was a hill, but it went up like 500-600 feet. And you walked up, and it was just rocks going up on the ocean. It's a cliff. And then when you get to the edge of the cliff, it went straight down like 500-600 feet to rocks. Like you could just die. You could just die. So we were running up the hill, you know, running up, exercising, and walk down or whatever. And I'm walking down one day, and the devil said, jump off. Kill yourself. Now, literally, if you would go off, you would die. It wasn't, there were rocks down there, and it was like 500-600 feet. You die. And anytime the devil tells you something, it's usually the opposite of something God would tell you. So you can just reverse it. And Jesus says, my power is going to be greatest in you when you are weak, when you die to yourself. Matter of fact, it says right there in the verse, look at verse 8. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses. The word witness in Greek is martyreo, and martyreo is the word where we get martyr. When you die to yourself, I want martyrs all over the world. What does that mean? Is that it is not about you anymore. I surrender, God. I am dying to myself. I'm committing suicide in the sense that I am not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for you. And if people decide to live for God and do whatever God says, watch out. This church and churches anywhere won't do anything unless the people are motivated by God and empowered by God's Holy Spirit to do it individually. And then collectively, he organizes us in his own supernatural way. But you have to surrender to God and then do it on his terms. Now, next week, we start a series called Worship, about worship. It's going to be 6 weeks long. And I'm going to tell you, everything we do in our faith and everything we do as Christians is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. Coming to church on time, obeying is all an act of worship. Worship is a response of respect when God is revealed to you. So I want to encourage you in several things as part of your surrender, your death to yourself. I want to encourage you to come every week of the series and then every week of the next series all the way to Easter. That's every Sunday. Now, are you going to be here every Sunday? No, I will not. Well, how are you going to act? Well, I'm going to be here 200 times or so this year. 4 to 5 times a Sunday. I'm asking you to be here 52. I want to challenge you to come every week. Matter of fact, how many of y'all weren't here last week? Just raise your hand real high. Real high. Keep it up real high. Look around the room. We're not pointing you out. You're doing it yourself. But keep it, if you look around the room, About, you can put your hands down. About half of you weren't here. Now listen to this. Half of you weren't here, but yet there was somebody else who was sitting in your seat last week who's not here. And so next week, normally, all these people won't come, and then this amount of people will come and replace them. Here's my challenge to you. Come every week.
Well, why would I do that?
Well, why not? God has called us to meet together. We should not forsake the assembling together so we can encourage one another. You can't get more, you can't get enough God. The problem is people look at this, well, I got encouraged last week. That'll last me 2 weeks. It's not about that. It's about every single day. Lord, I am dying to myself. And I want, not only do I want you to come every week and challenge you to come every week, I want you to come on time. So whatever time the service starts, whether it be 8, 10, 12, 5, or 7, whatever time the service, that you are in your seat at the hour.
Well, that means I have to come earlier.
Yes. It's a novel thing. You know God is never late. You can set your watch. Matter of fact, we do set our watch by the sun and the stars and how he's got everything clockwork. He's always on time. Come on time. Why? You're missing the worship part. You're missing half the service. And you think, well, you know, I just need a sermon. No, you need more than that. And you need more than that every day. Don't cheat yourself. Come on time. Now, fellas, I have a special challenge for the guys. All the fellas say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Here's some bass. Here's some bass. Here's the man in the house. One more time. Say on three. Say, on three, say amen real deep voice. One, two, three. Yeah, yeah, the ladies like that. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's my man. That's right. That's right. Fellas, I'm going to challenge you in something, and then next week I'm going to ask you to stand in your agreement to accept the challenge. And this is it. 1 hour, una hora, cada día, every day, of prayer. And alone time with God. No cell phone, no email, no computer, no TV, no radio, unless it's worship music. 1 hour a day, this whole year, with God. Now, I'm challenging you, so obviously I'm going to commit to it. I already started. 1 hour with God. And what you're saying in this hour to God, sometimes you're going to pray, sometimes you're going to read, sometimes you're going to journal about your relationship with God, whatever it is you and God. And you're saying, God, I am surrendering myself to you. Sometimes you'll sit there, if you can, which would probably be the most difficult thing, in complete silence, waiting on God. Whatever it is. Some days you're going to sit there, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not. Fine, it'll be like that, but trust me, it'll get better over time. God will rock your world. And I promise you, guaranteed, you do that every day, it'll impact your life way more than coming here once every other week. Or once a week. This is part of it. So that's my challenge. All the fellas say amen.
Amen.
I want to challenge you to be thinking, Lord. And by the way, I want to challenge you to start today.
Oh, man, football, ESPN, playoff game. I don't know. Why can't I do it tomorrow?
Hey, do whatever God leads you to do. But if you find yourself in front of the TV watching the 49ers Saints highlight for the 20th time. Turn that bad boy off and say, God, I'm not watching football right now. I want to spend time with you. But what do I do during an hour? For now, you do whatever you know. Over time, you will learn. We got a whole year. Get your Bible, get a pen and paper, get a devotional book, whatever you want. Put some worship music on. Next week, we're going to start a series on worship. We're going to challenge you to be worshiping by yourself. You know how you worship? You can sit in your car or wherever, turn your phone on, put on one of the Katina's things, or just go to YouTube and put some worship on and start singing. Woo, powerful. By yourself in the car. You can be in the car. Holy Spirit be filling the car. Her car will light up. Smoke starts coming out. You're praising God. And you come out like, yeah, baby. And it's a Wednesday. At 2 o'clock. It ain't Sunday. It's a Wednesday. It's Thursday. It's Friday morning. You were going to get drunk that night. Who got quiet up in here? Yo, man, I ain't going to TJ today.
What you going to do, man? We going to TJ. We going. No, no, no. I think I'm going to stay home. Home? Friday? Yeah. Oh, what are you going to do at home? Nothing. What's wrong with you, boy?
I'm worshiping God.
What? I've been worshiping God. 1 hour.
Now, we're going to take our offering. I know some of y'all thought, man, I forgot the offering. I get to keep my money. Me forget. Got to pay the bills, baby. If you are a guest, please don't feel obligated to give. But if you feel led to give, we receive. What we're going to do is we're going to take the offering, and then during the offering, we're going to sing a worship song, and then I'll come out after the worship song and dismiss you. And then we'll have ministers up here. We'll pray with you if you want prayer after the service. So let's all bow our heads. I'll pray as the worship team comes out. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, we need to be a light in this city. We need to bless San Diego and the world. To whom much is given, much is required. There's more firepower in this church than any of us could ask or imagine. But Holy Spirit, you know who we are. You know every individual. You know every pain, all the resources, all the talent, all the gifts. So we collectively want to ask you and give you full permission, full reign, freedom to do whatever you want to do in our lives, that we can be a blessing to you. And when you look at us, you'll be pleased at your sons and your daughters, that you would see yourself in us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Bless the offering, multiply it, you know our needs. In Jesus' name.